Amen. Good morning. Good to see all of you here today. Welcome to those watching online as well. You know, I've been in church a lot of years. Since the mid-80s, I've been a part of church life in two different countries. I grew up as a Canadian in Canada. You're going to hear an apology later about that. I'll explain then, as well as here in the U.S. And church, for me, should not be a religious experience. In fact, that's not my heart at all for you. And again, it can become that, or it can be that to some people. But here's the reality of it. We have kind of a system that we do. You know, you start with worship and, you know, ministry of the word. There's a welcome time in there somewhere, and a few announcements, and then time of hospitality after. But my prayer is that it never becomes just this ritual thing where you come in, okay, sing songs, I listen to somebody talk, and then I say hi to a few people and go home. That's not what it should be about. What it should be about, what church is about for me, is to help you and me have an encounter with Jesus. That's what it's about. So why do we worship? We worship, we sing songs that line up with Scripture. Often they are Scripture songs even. A lot of the choruses, everything is just God's Word that we're singing. The idea of worship and praise is to prepare your heart to receive the Word of God. In other words, to kind of let your hair down in a sense, and if you have hair, in my case I can't do that, but to let your hair down and just come to a place of the worries of the world, kind of putting everything aside to begin to prepare your heart for the seed of God's Word. And that's where the person comes up, in this case me, to share from God's Word. The idea is to give you seeds that you can plant into your life, that you can allow to grow, to grow into fruitfulness for your life. And I remember in the early years, and again, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been preaching since 1995. I've preached thousands of sermons. And so I would often, in my early years, I'd go up to somebody and say, you know, what did you think? You know, what did God show you? You know, and they'd tell me something. And after a few years of doing this, I would get so angry. Now you might say, well, why? Because they would always say something that God had said to them, but it was never one of my main points, ever. And I'd be so mad. I'm like, didn't they hear me talk about this and this and this? And I'm like, I get so bent out of shape. And one day the Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, son, what's your problem? I'm like, nobody listens to me. That was kind of my answer. Nobody listens to me. He said, they're listening to me, not you. And I realized that what he was saying was, I may say something, and that wasn't what you needed, but it triggered a rabbit chase in your mind to go over here somewhere. And then God spoke to you. Well, that's my heart for you. I finally got the memo. You get what I'm saying? I get it now. So now if I ask you, don't worry that you don't get the main point. I will not get angry at you, I promise, all right? Because as long as God has spoken to you, that's what matters. So for me, church is for you to have an encounter with the risen Lord. So that's my prayer for you this morning. If you haven't had it already, that during our time together or during our time of hospitality, and you're all welcome to hang out and, you know, spend some time together, that through that maybe someone would encourage you in the Lord. If you have a prayer need out there, let me tell you, if you say to anyone of our staff, hey, I got a prayer need and it's after church, it's okay. We're still on the clock, just to let you know, all right? We will pray for you. We will help you in any way that we can. So never be ashamed or feel guilty or anything to ask for help. We are here for you. If you have a praise report, we'd love to hear that as well. A couple of weeks ago, I began to talk about, you know, unforgiveness. And again, I've spoken thousands of times, but I probably had as much feedback with that one sermon as any other I've ever preached. People come to me all through the last couple of weeks, you know, some in tears, but tears of joy, saying, look, you know, I heard that, and I was able to finally release this thing, and just having peace and joy as a result of it. And it was awesome. And so I thought that this was going to be like what we call a one-off. You know, I was going to talk about unforgiveness and go on to more happier subjects. You know what I'm saying? And the Lord just spoke to me and said that there's a subcategory that I need to talk about. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about unforgiveness's evil twin sister. And her name is offenses. And how we need to deal with offenses in our life. We need to, you know, have forgiveness towards offenses that happen. And so what is an offense? You know, there's several Greek words in the Bible and the New Testament that talk about the word offense, and some of it means to be beat up, to be tripped up, to stumble upon. Those are some of the definitions for the different words. One of them actually is the word temptation. Did you know that the word offense in the Bible, that in some places it's a direct word that you can insert instead of offense, the word temptation? And so I believe that my hope is that each one of us have a better understanding of it and maybe can grow in being more offense-proof, all right? So first of all, what does Jesus have to say? If you'll notice, when I'm up here and most of the other ministers here, we take you in a journey through God's Word. Because I don't believe that my words can change anything. I believe that God's Word can change everything, though. Amen? So with that, what does Jesus say concerning offenses? How important is it to him? So let's look at Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 23. I'm reading from the NIV, and they're going to put it up on the screen. Therefore, if you offer your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift. Now, there's a lot in here. If you go back to it's all here. We didn't split it up. So it says here, you offer your gift. Well, this is, in a sense, a bit of Old Testament thinking. You know, in the Old Testament, you would bring, you know, a lamb or a goat or a bull to the altar and offer it to the Lord. But the same principle is still for us as New Testament believers. When we come, we offer what? The gift of thanksgiving. Right? We offer our finances. We offer our time. So we're still offering ourselves to the Lord, okay? So the principle is still there. And so when we bring that gift, when we come into the presence of the Lord, all right, what are we to do? Remember. In other words, God reminds you. This isn't you remembering. This is you're there and you're like, you're in church, right? And you're like, oh, God, I just love being here. And all of a sudden, a circumstance or a situation, a face comes before you, right? And you realize you've done something against them. That's what this scripture is talking about. And what does Jesus say you should do? Let me paraphrase. Leave church immediately and deal with it. That it's actually more important than you attending church to attend to that circumstance and then come back and offer your gift. 20 years ago, I remember preaching on this specific scripture. A guy jumped up and left while I was preaching. I'm like, oh, I guess I must have offended him. I don't know what I'm not sure what I said. I open my mouth and offenses just come out sometimes. So you know, I don't know what I did. Anyway, I talked to the guy the next week. And so he literally took this to heart. The minute I was talking about the scripture, faith came to his mind, and he realized he needed to go and resolve that situation. So he went, and he actually did it. And he came back, and he said, this was so freeing to do what God wanted me to do. And that's really what I want to talk to you about. You know, offenses, though it may be kind of a heavy subject, I'm talking about you being set free from these things. Amen. That's really what I'm here to talk to you about. So you're supposed to leave it, be reconciled to them, and then offer your gift. Here's what happens. When we have offended someone, it affects us in the spirit. And I liken it to having fog. You ever driven in fog? Anybody driven in fog? You know, it's hard to see. You know, you're trying to just navigate the road. It can be confusing. You can even get lost, right? Well, in a sense, that's what happens in the spirit. When there are offenses in the spirit, it creates this haze. And it hinders you from being able to clearly hear from God. Now, listen to me. It's not that God has turned his back on you. There's nothing you and I can do that will turn God away from us. But here's what happens. When we have offended someone, it means our heart's not right. So in a sense, what have we done? We've turned from God. And so that makes it more difficult, more challenging to hear from the Lord. That's why Jesus says, it's so important, you need to deal with this before you come back to worship me. That's literally what he's saying. So if right now that image, that person has come to mind, jot it down. Do whatever you need to do to remember that. So after church, you can leave now if you want, but why don't you just stay? I won't be too long, all right? So after church, you can go and deal with this and get it done with. And then when you come back to worship the Lord, you're going to sense a change on the inside. I promise you. This is a money-back guarantee. I promise you, if you do this, God will bless you through this process because God's Word says so. Amen? Okay, so we have two options in how to deal with offenses. There's two. All right, here's the first one. Self-isolate yourself, and they're going to put it up. So basically, go live in a cave, throw your phone away, throw your laptop away, never talk to another human being again, all right? And you will be offense-proof. You will not have any problems with offenses because you're not connecting with anyone. There's no issue whatsoever. Now, how many believe that that option, that's a true option, but it's not very feasible, is it? Right. So as much as some of you might be like, yeah, that doesn't sound like a bad idea because you've been so offended, you're so hurt, you're like, I just want to live in a cave, there is another option. And option two is this, to recognize that we live in a sin-filled world, and that offenses are part of it. And Jesus himself talks about this. Again, I'm telling you what Jesus says. And so here is what he says in Luke 17, beginning at verse 1. I'm reading from New King James Version. And Jesus said to his disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone was hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times a day returns to you and saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." Go back to verse 1 if you could. Here's what Jesus said. It's impossible that no offenses come. Guess what? You will be offended. In fact, some of you might even be offended by the way I spell offenses. Some of my titles, you'll notice that I use a C instead of an S. I'm sorry. I'm a Canadian. We do it the British way, all right? And by the way, most of the rest of the world does it that way too. Not to get my dig in, but, all right? So you're going to see in different places, like the title slide was done by an American. So they put the S in. You're going to see I did a C. Please do not become offended by that. Do you know I've met people where I made a spelling mistake, and they came to me after service, and they said, "I couldn't hear anything more that you had to say because of that." Come on. Come on. Please. I have learned something. If I open my mouth, offenses will come out sooner or later. So please forgive me in advance. I'm apologizing in advance, okay? Because literally, it will happen sooner or later. And so the point is, we need to be so careful not to allow offenses to overcome us. But let's just look at this. Jesus warns about it. And here's what he says when you go down, "But woe by whom they come by." So, and then he goes on and talks about, listen, a millstone hung around their neck. Do you know how heavy a millstone is? They're at least 300 pounds at least. You get a millstone put around your neck and thrown into the sea, guess where you're going? You're going to the bottom. You're not coming back from that. Let's just say that. And so Jesus is literally saying, look, offenses will come. You will get offended because we live in a world where offenses happen. But don't you be the one causing the offense. That's what he's saying. And so are you the offendee or the offender? And you need to examine your heart with that and ask the question. Because if you are the offender, Jesus hasn't got a lot of good things to say about that. And we need to come to a place of coming to repentance. And if we are an offensive person, then that means that we don't have a lot of social graces. You know what I mean by that? In other words, maybe we don't know where certain lines are and certain things that we should say or not say. We need to begin to learn those things. All right, come to a place of not being offensive to people. You know, between the first and second service, so you're part of the second service, so you're getting what I call the refined version of the sermon. The first service, I do all kinds of things wrong, all right? So I ask the staff, okay, what have I done wrong? And they'll tell me, not always, but they'll usually have a list of things. And I, when I first started doing that, I would get so offended by it because they're telling me all the things I'm doing wrong. Nobody likes to be told what they're doing wrong. Anyone here likes to be told they're doing something wrong? No, nobody does. So at first, I'd be like defensive about it. And they're like, "But we're just trying to help you." I'm like, "I know, but I feel offended." Because it's so easy to get offended, isn't it? Now, I don't worry much about it at all. Here's what we need to be like. We need to be like water off a duck's back. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, if you ever watch a duck or a goose, we got lots of Canadian geese here. I guess they followed me when I came here. I don't know, but there's a lot of them here. And we tell them to leave, go back home, but they won't leave. And so when they go under the water to get something and they come back up, you ever notice that the water literally just goes whoosh off? The duck or goose isn't any wetter than it was before. Well, why is that? Because there's oil in the feathers. And so literally the water doesn't even stick to the feathers. It rolls off. Listen to me. You and I have the Holy Spirit oil in our lives. We have the presence of Jesus in our lives. So when we get offended, when things happen to us, we need to be like water off a duck's back. That literally, because of the Holy Spirit in us, that we can resist that the attitude of wanting to fight back or push back on that offense, but rather to respond in an appropriate way. Now, at times, we need to just turn and walk away. We need to just turn and walk away, all right? At other times, we need to deal with that situation. You know what I've learned? 75% or more of the time, when you've been offended by someone, they didn't mean it. In other words, you took it as an offense, but they honestly didn't mean it. And yet you're offended. So what do you do then? Here's the deal. You don't know whether they meant it or not. So how about you ask them or explain to them? So here's what happens. Somebody says something, and you're hurt by it or whatever, feel abused, whatever. You need to say to that person, what you just said or what you just did hurt me. So you're not accusing them necessarily of doing that. You're saying, what's happened has hurt me. Do you know that 75% or more of the time, the other person say, oh my gosh, I didn't know. I am so sorry that I've hurt you. And guess what? It's all resolved. Poof, all gone. Life moves on. But what happens if you don't say something? You walk away and that little offense is there. And let me tell you, offense is like unforgiveness. Remember the evil twin sister? And I said, and unforgiveness is like a cancer of the soul. It eats you. Can I tell you, offenses do exactly. It's a different kind of cancer, but it will eat your soul just as well. And so that means that 75% of the time, you can resolve the situation right there and be done with it. Wow, that only leaves 25%. So think about this. 75% of the offenses you're carrying right now could have been resolved and done with, leaving only 25% that are what I call genuine offenses, where that person maybe meant it. You know, it's just a hurtful kind of person. And so even with them, you're going to say, hey, that hurt me. And they might say, well, tough luck. How many people had that happen? You know, that somebody says something, you say to them, hey, that kind of hurt. And they're like, hey, I just got started. You know, and like, I'm going to get worse and worse. And the thing is, how do you deal with that? Well, you have to come to a place that this now is between you and the Lord to talk about. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes, all right? And so, how do we begin to deal and overcome these things? So I've got 3 points to hopefully help you to deal with the offenses that, by the way, will come. They're going to come. All right. So here's the first one. Don't look to be offended. Proverbs 19, verse 11 says this, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is the one's glory to overlook an offense. So there's the word of God telling us that we are, to the best of our ability, to overlook the offense. I remember I think it was at Food Pantry, somewhere along the way, years and years ago, and I was calling a person's name. And you know, I just read the name off a list, you know, for them to come. And they come and they sit down and they said, I'm offended by you calling my name. I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't name you. I'm just calling you the name that someone else named you to be. And they're like, well, it was the tone. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry, you know. I'll try to be better with my tone. Yeah, I didn't get it. You get what I'm saying? I didn't get it. But I apologize still because for them, it was offensive. Now, why would a person be offended by that? First of all, I don't know. But what if the tone, the way I said it, the inflection of how I said it, maybe I pronounced it wrong, was something somebody else did that really hurt them in the past? I don't know. You don't know. But whatever way, I offended them. So listen, it's not for you and I to figure out. Someone comes to you and says, look, I'm offended. Please don't throw it back at them and slap them around a bunch more and you know, get, well, I'm offended that you're offended. Like, stop all that. You know what I mean? We're to be what? Person's wisdom. You know what this scripture, if we want to interpret it right, here's what it says. A mature Christian, someone that's mature in the Lord, will learn to overlook an offense. In other words, we're not to be looking for offenses. In fact, we're supposed to be looking for ways not to be offended. That's what our job is. How many people know that's really hard? We live in a world, a messy world. We live in a hurtful world. We live in a messed up world. And so people are offending everybody all around us. But one of the signs of a mature believer is to let it be like water off a duck's back. That's what God wants us to do. And we just need to do that. It's hard. But if we do it, God will bless us. All right, let's move on to the next thing. God sees every offense. Hebrews 4, verse 13 says this. God knows about everyone, everywhere. Everything about us is bare and wide open to the all-seeing eyes of our living God. Nothing can be hidden from him to whom we must explain all that we have done. So here's the thing. Sometimes when we become offended, we become what I call a momentary atheist. Now, what does that mean? An offense happens, and all of a sudden, we're not thinking about Jesus. We're not thinking about doing the right thing. We've kind of put Jesus in a box somewhere, and we're like, I've got a problem. and I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to tell them this. I'm going to do that. Well, first of all, who are you? If you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you surrendered your life to the Lord. So that means He is your Savior, but He's also your Master. So you have no right to do this or do that. You have every right to go to Him for help. But sometimes when you become that momentary atheist, you want to become God. You want to take matters into your own hands and do your own thing. How's that work out when you do that? Just a question. See, some of you were offended with me already. I'm sorry, but I'm not. All right? You know what I'm saying? It's like here's the thing. Sometimes when somebody says something you don't agree with, an offense comes up right away. Here's the thing. You know what I've learned about offenses? Sometimes there's a hint of truth in it. And I heard someone say this. It was a preacher long before I was in ministry. I was a brand new believer. And here's what he said, and it stuck with me all these years. And he said this, you need to eat the meat and spit the bones out. And then he went on to explain what that means. He says that sometimes when people say something, it may be offensive, but listen, there may be some truth to it. So what do? You need to take that and say, Lord, do I do this? Or do I say this? Or do I act this way? You know, and yeah, you're offended by it. Why? Because it hit a tender spot because you know there's an element of truth in it. Eat the meat, spit the bones out. In other words, if it was done in a hurtful, hateful kind of manner, don't eat that. You know, put that aside. But if there's truth to what's been said, then you need to have a conversation with the Lord about it and resolve that and work it through. Sometimes we become offended and it's God actually trying to get our attention. Just a thought. So here's the thing. God sees everything. God knows everything, right? So if He sees everything and He knows everything, then that means you and I can have peace in knowing that God will help us through that offense that's happening in our lives. You don't have to do this on your own. In fact, you're going to see in a little while the importance of trusting God. You can't do it on your own. And admitting that is actually a big step towards offense-proofing your life. Amen? Okay. Here's the third one. When offended, God has called us to build bridges and not fences. One of the reasons why I spelled it the Canadian way, offense, because the word offense has the word fence in it. And so if you want a definition that you can remember, think about this. An offense builds a fence or a wall between you and the other person or other persons. And that's literally what offenses do, don't they? And what has God called you and I to do? We're called to build bridges. And the scripture says, and it's right there on the board there, it says this, that now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Christ Jesus, and has given us the what? Ministry of reconciliation. He didn't give us the ministry of offenses, right? He didn't give us the one where we're to kind of condemn and put other people down around us. But here's the thing, what we are supposed to do is to build bridges. So that means to say, hey, You said something and that really affected me in a negative way. Can we talk about this for a minute? You know, and that's a mature believer's attitude. About a month or so ago, I had a meeting with someone in the church, and it was just about some changes that had to happen. And, you know, they weren't comfortable with the changes. And I really wasn't comfortable talking about the change, but, you know, we had to make some changes, right? And so we kind of left that meeting both feeling probably a little uncomfortable. And then we met again, you know, and we were able to kind of work through and bring resolution to it, which was awesome. But at the end, I was so blessed. This individual said to me, here's what they said. It showed maturity. It showed love. It showed just having the right heart. And here's what this person said. Are we okay? And really what that person was saying is, you know, if I've offended you, you know, I didn't mean it. That's what was being said in that. And, you know, we had the conversation. No issue at all. It's all good. You know, and we moved on from there. That is maturity. And that's what you and I need to do on a regular basis. You have a conversation with a spouse or a coworker or whatever. When it's all over, you need to ask that person, are we okay? You know, have I offended you because I didn't want to or I didn't mean to, but, you know, I just felt I needed to talk about this. Be open and honest. Be transparent. Now, listen, the other person may not be in the same place you were at. So I can't promise you you're going to get ooey-gooey happy feelings from every conversation you have when you ask that question. But I'll tell you, often you will. Often you will. If you just say, look, are we okay? Are we right? You know, have I offended you? I want to make sure that we're, you know, everything's transparent here. And I can't tell you how many husbands and wives are dealing with hidden offenses, and they're hurting, and yet they sleep in the same bed, they eat at the same table. You get what I'm saying? And they're offended with one another. People, if that's you, have a conversation, please. I beg you. It doesn't have to be that way. Have the conversation. And again, I can't promise that their response is going to be exactly what you want, but I'll tell you something. It will clear the slate between you and God, and He will help you. So what happens when you have been offended and it's so egregious, it's so bad that you can't forgive? Think in your mind of some things that may have happened in your own life, and you're like, I can't forgive that. There's no way that I can let that thing go. I want you to hear a testimony. It's 2 minutes long from a lady by the name of Corrie Ten Boom. I'm going to give you a little bit of background if you don't know her. She was born, in the 1800s, late 1800s, and as a result of that, it was living in Holland. She was part of a Dutch family, the Ten Boom family. He was a watchmaker. And so during the occupation, the Nazi occupation during World War II, they actually hid away 800 Jews in total and got them off to safety, out of the country. It's amazing testimony. But as the war was going on, near the end of the war, they got caught. The whole family was put in prison. The father died within 10 days of being imprisoned, and the two daughters lived on through it. And the one daughter, Betsy, which is Corrie Ten Boom's sister, actually passed away. And the conditions in those prisons were horrible. Not only, lack of food and clothing and food, all of that, but abuse of every level. I'm not even going to get into it. Just of every possible level. And so what happened is about 10 years after she gets out, her sister passes away. She gets out and she's ministering around the world, actually. And she's back in Berlin. This is probably in the 60s, somewhere in there. And a person approaches her that was one of the guards from the prison. And that's where we're picking up the story. So you want to run that?
It was some time ago that I was in Berlin. And there came a man to me and said, Mr. Boom, I am glad to see you. Don't you know me? And suddenly I saw that man. That was one of the most cruel overseers in concentration camp. And that man said, I'm now a Christian. I have found the Lord Jesus. I read my Bible and I know that there is forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world, also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done. But then I have asked God grace for an opportunity that I could ask one of my very victims forgiveness. And Fräulein Ten Boom, will you forgive me? And I could not. I remembered the suffering of my dying sister through him. But when I experienced that I could not forgive, suddenly I knew I myself have no forgiveness. But I was not able, I could not, I could only hate him. And then I took one of these beautiful texts, one of these boundless resources, Romans 5:5, and thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness. That same moment, I was free. And I could say, brother, give me your hand. And I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you forgive your enemies. Can you forgive? No. I can't either, but he can.
I don't know what you have gone through, but can I tell you, it couldn't be worse than that. Couldn't be worse than that. And yet, here this woman admittingly saying, I can't do this, but with God, I can. Doesn't the scripture say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? He can help you. Let's stand together. I've been talking about offenses, You know, you might be the offender, and there's some things that you need to do to remedy that. You may be the offendee. You need to bring it to the Lord. But there's another offense I want to talk about for just a moment as we close. And it's this. Are you offended with Jesus? In other words, he said something through his word or by his Holy Spirit that you disagree with, and you're offended by that. And what's happened is it's caused this wall, this fence to be built up between you and the Lord. Let me tell you something. He is your strength. He is your answer. And so if you're offended with him, the only way you can deal with it is to tell him so. To go to him and say, Lord, I'm offended. This is what you're telling me, and I don't want to do it. You just need to be honest about it. And he will help you navigate this. Let me tell you something. You never want God on the other side of the fence. You want him on the same side with you, dealing with whatever's on the other side. And so just for a moment, just with every eye closed, I'm just going to ask you to respond by raising your hand to this question. Are you dealing with an offense in some way, shape, or form? You may be the offender, the offendee, or dealing with an offense with the Lord. Any one of those three categories, just slip your hand up in the air to the Lord. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. I see hands raised just everywhere here in the sanctuary. And those online as well, if you have offenses as well, just raise it to the Lord. Okay, you can put those hands down. I just want to pray for you this morning. Father God, when you were offended through your son said, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And Lord, in so many cases, offenses happen in our lives because the other person or persons didn't know what they were doing. They offended us in ignorance. And so, Lord, we just, right now, we give those areas over to you, Lord. But Lord, there are those who have hurt us intentionally, done things to us that are unimaginable. And we are offended greatly. And unforgiveness is a part of that. We will not forgive this. We can't. So, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, we acknowledge we can't. But we know that with you, we can. So I pray, Lord, right now, that we partner with you in the Spirit. And that, Lord God, that where there was hate, your love would flow in and you would help us to forgive. And in that forgiveness, we would be set free. Lord God, you know all, you see all. You'll deal with those who have done wrong. But Lord, we want to be set free from the wrong that's happened to us. And so we ask right now for that healing to happen right here in this place. And Lord, if in some way we've been offended by your word, your direction, your Holy Spirit, then Lord, we come to a place of surrender to you, knowing that we're offended because we disagree with you, but your word is truth. Your word is life. You are light. So Lord, we lay that offense at the foot of the cross and we embrace you and we surrender to you. Lord, I speak a blessing upon every person here, those watching, that Lord, when that offense happens, and it will, that Lord God, we'll let it be water off a duck's back because of your Holy Spirit in us to help us. And that we would deal with it in an appropriate way, and it would bring honor and glory to you, that we would walk in maturity and wisdom and patience of the Holy Spirit. So bless each one, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you this morning.